Good evening. We'll call the meeting to order, please. Let the record reflect that all members of the City Council and all members of the Planning Commission are present. And if we'd please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Rob Schultz. Thank you. We're going to try and get through this in 45 minutes if we can. We need 10 to 15 minutes when we're finished to break this down and reset up. So we will try to move expeditiously. And I'm going to turn it over to Rob Livick.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, and Chairperson of Planning Commission and the Commission. We're here tonight to have one of two annual joint meetings that City Council has with their Planning Commission. Tonight we have three items on our agenda, and I'm going to start with the first one, which is a kind of an overview update on
Mr. Livick, I'm going to interrupt you because I was just looking at the agenda here with duties and responsibilities, and I think we need to go to public comment first, and then I'm going to come back to you. So
thank you.
We are at the public comment portion of the meeting, and any of you would like to address this joint meeting, now is the appropriate time. Step right up to the microphone. State your name for the record. We don't have a timer, but if you could watch the clock, and we'll watch our clocks, and if you could keep your comments to 3 minutes, we'd be grateful. Good evening, Mrs. Mersoyan.
Good evening. Thank you. My name is Natalia Mersoyan, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm not affiliated with any particular organization. I have no axe to grind other than wishing to come to a resolution of some beneficial resolution for this wastewater treatment plant problem so that Morro Bay residents such as myself can enjoy the best quality water and at the lowest prices possible. So that's my main interest here. I would like to say I understand that the City Council is entertaining the idea of hiring professional lobbyists to lobby against the staff planning commission recommendations and some federal land that was offered to the city within the last couple of years for free. And it seems to me a perfect location because of its proximity to being closer to Cayucas, and also it's not very far up off the main pipeline. It wouldn't take much to get the water up there, and the pipes that already exist there might be utilized to redirect some water into areas that need irrigation. And I just think it would be much better than the current location, which I believe any reasonable person would agree now, in retrospect, that it's not a good place for a wastewater treatment plant for all the reasons that have been brought up, because it's subject to flooding and
thank you,
ad infinitum. Okay, thank
Time's
you
up.
Very
thank
much.
You. I was mistaken about the timer, so we obviously have one. So thank you for your comments. Who would like to go next?
Uh, Hi. Woo. Down loud tonight. My name is Barbara Dorr, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. And I just wanted to come and say a few things. I listened during your interviews for the commission position. And basically, I just wanted to, I know the mayor and council have their comments, and as a member of the public, I wanted to say something too. The job you have is a critical job for this community. You represent us. Yes, they appoint you, but you represent the members of this community, whether residents or business. And the state has established your authority. You are also a quasi-judicial board. I served as a mayor for 8 years. I served as city council member for 4, and I worked for Orange County for about 13 years. I've appointed people to commissions. It's critical that you be true to yourself in the decisions you make. And if the decision you make means that the group that appointed you has the luxury of dismissing you, I would just hope that you are true to yourself and truly vote what you've studied, what you've learned, and the position you believe is right for this city. The legal basis for land use and planning regulations is the police power of the city to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of its residents. It even goes as far into determining that the community should be beautiful, as well as healthy, spacious, as well as clean, well-balanced, as well as carefully patrolled. These are our legal quotes that I'm bringing up. And it's much easier on that side of the table. So if I'm nervous here, please excuse me. there's another part. Development is a privilege, not a right. And this is Trent Meredith, Inc. versus the city of Oxnard. It's the person who appointed you. That's not who you represent. Unless I'm told otherwise, you represent the community and the laws of the state. So I just encourage you to enjoy it. It's wonderful. There's all sorts of resources online. There is nearby classes you can take, and I'm sure there's resources at Cal Poly, people, professors that would come out and talk to you. Welcome and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mrs. Dorr. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Ms. Cutter. Welcome.
My name is Dorothy Cutter. I would like to urge you not to spend any more money on this wastewater treatment plant. You don't seem to be getting the message that a lot of people in the community don't like it, even though you say we're just a small group, but we're here. Anyhow, the Coastal Commission now has 2 reports out. They don't like this plan that you are insisting on, and I don't know what it's going to take to get the message, but, you know, I don't want to see the city go bankrupt, and that seems to be the course that you're taking. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, Planning Commission. My name is Ann Reeves, and I live in Morro Bay. For the length of time, which has been in excess of a year, that I've been attending the meetings with regard to the wastewater treatment plant, I have noticed that a lot of comments from the public fall on deaf ears and blank faces. We don't come here as adversaries. We come here because we care about this town just as much as you do. And we want it to be successful. We want it to be solvent. We want our water treatment plant to be well done so it will last for the time that they generally last for. We're not adversaries. Yes, some of us haven't lived here as long as the rest of the people in town. I myself have lived here about 17 years. My daughter moved here 32 years ago. But I didn't leave my brains at the county line. I brought them with me. And I brought my life experiences with me. And the comments that I've made in the past have all been based on fact. So my plea is to please sit down or take a deep breath, maybe is the best way to put it, and reconsider the directions that you've been taking with this project and see if you can't do a little better job with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reeves. Who would like to go next? Come on up.
Here's the camera. How's it going? I'm Gary Hickson. My glasses here. Hi, George. How you doing? I do the doing the Gary Hickson show on Channel 2, and this is the planning one, right? Planning department. I do my public comment, and I'm going to do the city council. You guys are doing a good job, by the way, with the planning department. And I know you got George League and Yates is back, and I was here with Janice Peters doing it. And it's a little bit of advertising for the show, but I was going to do the Gary Tyler Moore show, but we're doing the Biotronic Woman or something. But I'm going to start doing my city council. We're doing Fishmasters again. I'm helping with the planning. Bottoms up or something. I can't keep violating copyright. And I've been doing it for 2 years. I edited all the Star Wars films, but the station's like, we've got to do originals. So I'm doing all these retro 70s shows and trying to run for the city council someday. I'm 45 years old. My name's Gary Hickson. I know all you guys. I know her. I know a lot of you. I do Janice Peters. Carla Borchard, yeah, I know her. And Rick Grantham, I saw him earlier. So there he is. Okay, whatever. So I'll just keep talking until it beeps. But I try to come to these things that are a little less boring, you know, because everybody starts fighting and stuff. And you guys are doing a better job lately, though. But what happened to the I don't know what happened with the Cal Poly thing, but I guess they're going to eventually help get that going. Did you guys, you know what I'm talking about? The Cal Poly kids are going to do all the sidewalks? Is that delayed or something?
We generally try not to get into.
Okay. The other thing is the Morro Bay Library. They were supposed to. I know it has nothing to do with this. They were supposed to do the children's library, and it's still not being done. I just wanted people to know. And I'm for medical marijuana, but I don't think it solves everything. And I guess that's pretty much it. I don't have to wait for this thing to beep, I guess. But I'm a little nervous speaking in front of the people again. So, but I'm into Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen and all that stuff. And my friends are watching me right now. So bless AGP Video, and I'm going to sit back down for the meeting and. And it was nice to see you all again, especially George League and everybody else. So thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Dixon. Thanks for coming.
No problem.
Who would like to go next? Anybody? Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Planning Commission, City Council, and staff. My name is Marla Jo Breton, and I'm a resident of North Morro Bay. I'm happy to see that we are having a joint meeting with the Planning Commission and the City of Morro Bay. I believe that that is extremely important to keep continuity flowing throughout the year's process. I have been following the wastewater treatment plant upgrade since 2005 at meetings and what have you. And I can probably say, looking at everyone here, I don't know what year you were appointed to council, but other than this gentleman here, most of you I never saw at any of those meetings. And the JPA meetings. And I'm not completely comfortable with the information or knowledge base that you may or may not have. What I have seen is that we've spent nearly 7 years in this process for the wastewater treatment plant. And one of the most important things I'd like to say is this late filing or submitting of the draft EIR report. Now, we've already spent several millions of dollars with consultants, Corolo and what have you, designing plants. They're done in a waterfall chart. Anyone who knows about building large projects, there's times that you do certain activities. And to bring in the EIR at this point of the process instead of at the beginning of the process is where I believe that this fatal flaw that we've run up against with the Coastal Commission comes in. We would have known, 5 years ago that they would have specifically said, 100-year zone. I knew it was a 100-year flood zone before then, and I know a lot of people in this community do. anyway, and I'd also ask that you forego hiring McCabe Consulting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi.
Richard Sadowski, Citizen Morro Bay. I've been involved in the wastewater treatment project since I worked in Cayucas in 2003. As a grade 4 wastewater collection system operator, me and a coworker had videotaped several miles of the wastewater collection system in Cayucas. And after the 2003 San Simeon earthquake, after a 9-hour presentation to FEMA and OES, we were able to secure funding for repairs. During that time, the Morro Bay Cayucas Joint Powers Agreement Group was on an administrative waiver. And in the summer of 2004, Mr. Schultz was there, Tim Carmel was there, the city manager, Roger Briggs, met at the Central Coast Regional Board, and I brought up the fact that the collection system has some issues. During that time, I did a preliminary flow study that showed that the wastewater treatment plant in its current design and capacity is surcharging on a regular basis. We're a tourist community. Our population fluctuates quite severely as opposed to a baseline, you know, people living here, and then we have tourists. The standard of deviation and the variances in our flow are significant, so we have to make allowances for that. Your current design doesn't do that. These are issues that were presented to the Coastal Commission, and they're looking at as well. Along with that, in 2007, we did a series of reports analyzing the Morro Bay collection system. And then later on, did a nitrate study that showed that the nitrates that are in the Morro Basin aquifer, there was potentially coming from the dilapidated infrastructure, the sewage infrastructure, and not from the farmers, which are being blamed by CLEAT. This is still being looked at by scientists at a state level. Wasting taxpayers' money and delaying the process and studying, and all the studies, I know Wallace Engineering was involved in the study that was ended up being negative decked away and said that they were going to look at it.
The way I see this going is that we won't start our city council meeting until 6:30. So if you're planning on coming down at 6, we'll make it 6:30. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, members of city council, planning commission, city staff. I do have some comments and suggestions for...
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Alex Beattie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Some comments and suggestions for some things that the planning commission and the city staff and city council can be doing. Certainly they're going to be related to the wastewater treatment plant because that's going to be the major issue for the next couple of years. I would like to see the planning commission, the city council, and the staff seriously consider the fact that the Coastal Commission says there are substantial issues and they ain't going away, and instead of hiring lobbyists, waiting time, I would like to see the city council direct the staff to get dealing with these issues immediately. Perhaps you have. Another thing that I would like to suggest is really getting working on revision of that local coastal plan. I was reading that, trying to deal with this appeal issue, and it was almost embarrassing. Well, that thing's got to be 25 years old, and it's written in it. If I were reviewing that and I saw that this was something that an applicant had submitted, I would have thought that, this is sort of a, they're sort of hokey. Another thing that I would like to see you do is under one of your discussion items is the role of the Planning Commission. I think it would have been helpful if you'd involved the Planning Commission earlier in this wastewater treatment issue. I've been talking to other folks, and it seems that this does happen with other commissions, a similar thing. And apparently it didn't happen with the city of Morro Bay and that, and I would like to sort of see that happen. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Beatty. Anybody else? Here we go. Hi.
Hi. Susan Heineman, resident of Morro Bay. I read the recent article on Morro Bay and our sewer issue in the New Times. And I'm kind of curious what Morro Bay would be accomplishing by spending the money on a lobbyist, since the Coastal Commission is fairly clear on what they're looking for. So in some sense, it looks like we're in kind of a laughable position in that we're looking at hiring a lobbyist versus just going ahead and doing what the Coastal Commission is asking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Heineman. Anyone else? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Bring it back to Council and Planning Commission. Thank you all for your comments. Natalia? She go. Ms. Dorr, Ms. Cutter, Ms. Reeves, and Mr. Hickson, and Marla, and Richard, and Alex, and Susan there at the end. We appreciate your input very much. Regarding Mr. Sadowski trying to engage me with a question, it's just a...
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to give a brief presentation on the status of our general plan, LCP, and zoning ordinance. Mr. Schultz is going to give an overview of the information that was presented to the Planning Commission. Then we'll turn it back to Council and Planning Commission for your discussion. The current current general plan was adopted in 1988. It applies to the entire city, as we all know. It was written to integrate with the 1982 local coastal plan. In fact, it includes references to that 1982 local coastal plan. It contains the required elements, land use conservation, and open space, circulation, scenic highway and visual resources, safety, noise, housing, access, and recreation. The revised elements that were revised recently include the safety element in September of 2006 and the housing element in November of 2009. Those were approved by City Council. The city's LCP was written in 1981 and approved, certified by the California Coastal Commission in October of 82. And it includes much of the same policies as does our general plan, shoreline access and recreation, visitor-serving facilities, public works, locating and planning new development, archaeology, energy, industrial development, coastal agriculture, hazards, and such, visual resources. The LCP was required by the 1976 Coastal Act. Like I said, it's very similar to the general plan, and it was in early 2000, the process was to integrate those two documents into one document. Consultants were hired in actually as early as 1998 to begin that integration process. Planning Commission workshops were held for 5 years, going over each of the various elements of the general plan and the local coastal plan from 1998 to 2003. City received planning grants from Coastal Commission, one in an amount of $65,000 and the other one in $36,000 to help with the preparation of this. In February 2004, the City Council approved the revised general plan, local coastal plan, and submitted it to the Coastal Commission in November 2005. The city received comments in January 2006. that the submittal was deemed incomplete and that they required more informational requirements. Comments from the Coastal Commission website indicate that they believe that we're likely to redraft and repackage, and that's where that sits. Little information on our zoning ordinance. That update was started in 2003. The Planning Commission held hearings in the summer and fall of 2004. City Council approved the modifications to the zoning ordinance in 2005. It was submitted again in 2005 along with the LCPGP package to Coastal Commission and resulted in the same status, viewed as incomplete, and new public hearings are needed prior to that upgrade. We have processed, or in the process of revising two major sections to the zoning ordinance and transmitting those amendments to Coastal Commission. One was approved by City Council last year, was the wireless telecommunications section, basically modernizing to take into consideration cell phone towers and to be in compliance with federal law. The next section that we would like to get to Coastal Commission is the city sign ordinance. Planning Commission held a public hearing on that item at their last meeting and provided some good input to staff. We'll be packaging that and getting that to City Council within probably the next month or so, and for your action on that item. Well, that concludes my very whirlwind tour of the general plan, LCP, and zoning ordinance, and thank you very much.
Good questions for Rob from council? Noah?
Yeah, I'd like to find out what you think the timeline would be for the council to have a discussion about the process and strategy going forward with the overall plan and our next steps.
Talking about the general plan and LCP.
Yeah, for overall approval from the Coastal Commission.
Well, I guess I would leave that to councils and forming your priorities on when that fits on your work plan, where you want to do schedule that. We're ready to dig into that at any time.
So, would it be safe to assume that would come to us when we get into our prioritization meeting?
More than likely.
Planning Commission, do you have any questions for Rob?
I have one. Rob, were there adequate comments and recommendations by the Coastal for their incomplete determination on the general plan and local coastal plan?
Some of them were very adequate and gave us good a good way to move forward. For example, between the 2002 and 2004 version, the Planning Commission at that time, it took out quite a few of the Coastal Act policies, thinking, let's try to trim this down, make it a much more condensed version. The Coastal Act is state law. We'll just refer that everything in the Coastal Act is included. They came back and specifically said, we want these in your LCP. So that was very easy to, you know, and the red line, we see where we took those out. In other areas, no, they're not as clear, and that requires more of an interpretation of what they were looking for. But that's one example. The comment that hears them, unless they're appealed, they don't go to the city council. So your job's critical. I know that from my standpoint as a city attorney, but I think I told you I was also on the architectural review committee for the city of San Luis Obispo. So I've sat on that side and know how tough your job is. Just for the public, what we've brought is the documents that you've already been given, which is 3 inches, and included the Planning Commission's handbook, the zoning ordinance, the subdivision ordinance, the general plan, the Morro Bay Coastal Land Use Plan, the RUDAT study, the Waterfront Master Plan, the Beach Street Specific Plan, the North Main Specific Plan, and then the maps. I mean, and you're supposed to know all that. So I'll give you a week to learn all that in that. And so, you know, that's a wealth of knowledge that you have to bring to each one. I would highly recommend that you've got this document and to bring it to each meeting, though, because sometimes, you know, you might want to look at a different policy that's in your staff report, unless you, and if you don't have it with you, you can't refer back to it or look at the specific language. Staff might cite you a policy and you want to see exactly the specific language or the policy before or after. So I recommend you bring those. And then to get to my book that I provided you, which is a little different than the one that the planning department provided you, I'll go through this very quickly, but I provide you in the first section, the municipal code. The municipal code deals with administration and personnel in chapter 2.28, and it's entitled Planning Commission. It was enacted in 1962, and it was amended in 95 and 2004. It is outdated. It needs to be revised, and I'll go into a recommendation that I have for the Planning Commission and City Council in a minute on that, but it definitely needs to be revised. It talks in section 2.28060 about rules and regulations of the Planning Commission, which we do not have. And the Planning Commission does not have bylaws. Instead, we've just gone by the ordinance, but it's my recommendation that we actually develop bylaws to put in our advisory handbook. It also has a secretary section that I think is outdated, as I mentioned in your last meeting. So I do recommend, you know, that at the end of this, that that's something you talk about on whether you want to form a subcommittee or meet and discuss redoing this section and provide a recommendation to City Council. I did that with the Promotions Committee. We revised our mission statement, revised our bylaws, and then we sent that recommendation to City Council, who did make changes to it because they're the ultimate body. But it provided you the ability to go through and see where we need to go. Also included is your council's policies and procedures, and according to your advisory handbook, these council's policies and procedures are applicable to your body. So it's always good to have this notebook with you, and I'll point out a couple sections. For example, in Chapter 2 is the council compensation. That actually deals with the Planning Commission because you also are responsible under AB 1234 to do your ethics training to understand when you have to declare economic interests. And also, for example, you'll see on 2.4.10, which is on page 27, reports to City Council. You know, anytime it says City Council in these because they're applicable to you, then it would be to the Planning Commission. And under this one, at your next meeting, there's also in the back of that, there's also the one dealing with, I think it's Chapter 5, which deals with, you know, the staff relationships with council members, which is also applicable to Planning Commission members. So at your leisure, go through that. As I mentioned during my Brown Act presentation, I'm available at any time if you've got any questions regarding this document. It's a little bit tough because some policies just don't pertain because they're only to council, but they are applicable to all boards where you know, it is applicable. The next in here, what I provided you is, and this was at a request of one of the Planning Commission members, is we try to keep in a binder, the city clerk does, major resolutions that affect the city. And so we made a copy of that entire resolution package that we have. But many of them are not applicable to you, and I was going to run through them, but timing-wise, I'm not going to. But you can tell, you know, a resolution adopting the identity theft prevention program isn't applicable to you. But, you know, a document regarding climate protection campaign or something to do with green gases or something to do with vegetation removal, which is, you know, 1906, those are policies that are. So I think you should be able to go through here real quick and be able to understand which ones are applicable to the Planning Commission and which ones weren't. You know, there are some dealing with project improvement plans and of that nature that might be applicable. So, you know, those have been provided all for you to go through and to look at and become familiar with some of the major policies that have been adopted by the past city councils on resolutions. Also in the package is as I explained earlier, the advisory board's handbook and bylaws, which and that is a tab, I think, 4 or 5. And that does provide the general mission statement and the statement there that all members are expected to attend regular scheduled board meetings and that they be conducted with the Roberts Rules of Order, the City Council Policies and Procedures Manual, and state law. But as I said, we don't have bylaws for the Planning Commission, and I certainly believe we should have those available and go into more depth. And as we go through and revise the ordinance, it may be that we streamline and take out everything or almost everything in the ordinance and instead place that in the bylaws, which they where they really belong. And then the final document I've provided you, as I noted earlier, the Planning Department provided you with the Planning Commissioner's Handbook. That handbook is from the Governor's Office of Planning and Research. The one I've provided you, which I prefer, is the one done by the California League of Cities. It's a little bit more speakeasy. It's a little bit easier to understand. I would imagine you'll each get one of these even when you go to your planning and seminars with the League of California Cities. So with that, I'll finish up. It's a wealth of information here that you've got to learn and understand fairly quickly. It is a critical job that you do. And we'll open up to any questions.
And I'll turn it to Planning Commission. Do you have questions for Rob on this or any subject for Rob? No? Council?
I don't have a question, but I guess I'm very happy that we have put this together and appreciate them.
On roles and responsibilities and how we interact with one another and what we expect of you. And this is going to be pretty anticlimactic because you've heard us talk about it over and over several times, and I'm sure you saw the last time when I was more or less elected to be the spokesperson for the council on this, and I think everything was said then, but I will run through it again. First off, I want to thank everybody for serving, both you old guys, and you know what I mean by that, and the new guys. They're all old guys, except for John. We know it's a big chunk out of your life, and we're very grateful to all of you for putting the effort in, having the interest to want to do it, and then volunteering to do it, and going through the appointment process, and now sitting as planning commissioners. We're very, very grateful to you for this service. This council, as you've heard me say many times, is a business-friendly council. We're also fisherman-friendly. Both of those two things are by resolution. If you haven't seen those resolutions, you know, maybe you can just let me know at this meeting, and I'll make sure that you get a copy. Neither one are that old. They're both under 10 years old. That we are a business-friendly city. I gave that to Planning Commission one night. And we have another one that's basically the same for fishermen. And actually, when it comes to commercial fishermen, we have a file. Mr. Schultz has a file. It's about an inch thick, literally an inch thick, that goes back to incorporation that is just filled with resolutions that are pro-commercial fishing. We are a commercial fishing town. They are a special interest group. They are our special interest group. Not many things come above the commercial fishermen. So I'm stressing this. If something comes before you, that you keep that in mind, that that we do treat fishermen special. I'm not saying we treat them more special than the citizens at large, but they are a special group. And, of course, we're a tourism-friendly city council, and we would ask you to be a tourism-friendly planning commission. Because it's tourism that basically pays, well, almost a third of our bills. So you've heard me say this, too. I'm just going to be repeating myself tonight, that if the paramedic comes into your home to serve you, 30% of his salary, 30% of the vehicles outside, 30% of the policeman's cost, if he's showing up with them, is paid for by the tourist. So it's some of us get accused of good old boys and taking care of our friends and down in the Embarcadero and all this stuff that you hear. It's, yes, everybody in Embarcadero is our friends. But it's about money. It's about our services. That is the only reason we are pro-business and pro-tourism, is because it pays a big chunk of our bills, and without them, we would be in trouble. So we're a business-friendly city council, and we ask that you keep that in mind in your deliberations and decision-making.
Citizen-friendly?
Citizen-friendly. citizens and that kind of thing. That is not being, in our view, citizen-friendly. So we ask that you keep that in mind, that if something is absolutely critical, that's one thing. But you know that with the processes that have gone, that have happened before somebody comes before you, they've come into planning department and said, I want to build this project, this house, this whatever it is. And planning department has said, well, you can do this, but you can't do this. And there's a negotiation and a back and forth, and they leave and they come back, and the drawings aren't right, the engineering's not right, whatever it is. There's a lot of back and forth that happens before it reaches you. So by the time it reaches you, it has gone through that process. And we would ask that you appreciate that has happened, and that every time you send an applicant away for something new, like a photo simulation, you're causing stress on that person. Your expense, the photo simulation is $1,000. So just keep that in mind, and I would ask the chairman that you always seek a consensus that it's not a rubber stamp board. One person, by that I mean one person says, well, I want to see, I'll just stick with the same example, a photo simulation. And so the other four of you go, okay, well, Joe wants to see a photo simulation, so we'll go along with that. That should be a consensus item that I would ask the chair to look to the others and say, this has been asked for. Maybe talk about the ramifications of that and make a decision that's right for the community. The applicants should be able to move through this process painlessly and without stress and without a lot of extra financial cost to them. This council does not feel that the Planning Commission is a design review board. I know this is a subject that is batted around a lot. We do appreciate that in the Waterfront Master Plan, it does say that it should have a waterfront theme. Then it becomes kind of a reasonable person. You know, what's reasonable? You know, is choosing a roof material reasonable? You know, to me, reasonable would be somebody comes in and they've got a design and it's got a mansard roof all the way around it. Well, I mean, how unwaterfronty can you get that a mansard roof? But I would assume that that would be taken care of at the planning department stage, that you wouldn't get a mansard roof in front of you. But if you did, then I would expect you to speak up and say, this is not in keeping with waterfront design concepts. But I would submit that if a shingle roof is proposed to you, that you don't really have the authority to demand a metal roof, as an example. And I use each direction is the council direction, that down the road, if I would disagree with somebody and let's say the other four overrule me, that, you know, down the road, you don't say, well, the other four were for it, but Yates wasn't, so therefore, the council direction is the council majority's. So whatever this council majority says, that is the direction of the council. And I think that concludes. I hope I haven't offended anybody. It's not my intention to offend anybody. I don't think I've said anything new. I will let the other council members speak and then take any questions from you that you may have. Noah.
Just briefly, I want to encourage you to really carefully go through your documents, and when you make decisions, base them on our local coastal plan and general plan. One of the things that concerns me is when we aren't following those as closely as possible and making our decisions based on those rulings, we're setting up our applicants for a long appeal process because of our location in the coastal zone and likelihood of appeal all the way to the Coastal Commission in many cases. And I don't think we'd be doing any favors to an applicant by not following those rules and principles as closely as possible and making sure that we're putting them on the right course as early as possible in that process. And that starts with the staff review to you and then to us if it's appealed to us. So those are my only comments.
George?
Yes, just getting back to the applicants. I think it's just we'd like to see you just really work hard to help these people get through their situation. Sometimes this is very stressful on people that are coming before you and presenting their plans or whatever that is. And we just want you to be really friendly. This is the way I like to see it. Be friendly to these people and make sure that you can just go on and beyond in your call of duty to try to get these things done for them. If they're trying to put on a porch on their house, you know, let's just make it as easy as we can. Okay, guys? I know you're going to do a good job.
First, once again, thank you for your service. I know you guys are going to work hard. Been there. One thing I think a lot of people don't realize is that the things that come to the Planning Commission are projects that are outside the box. You know, Bill talked about the process going back and forth with the planning department. And when something happens or somebody wants something different in their design, their home, their building, that doesn't match up, they need an exception or a variance. And those are the projects that are going to come to you, the hard ones, not the easy stuff. You're not going to get any of the easy stuff, which makes it harder to decide, makes for more discussion, which is definitely a part of the whole process. I think, though, you need to realize that it is expensive when somebody comes to Planning Commission. It wouldn't hurt to check in the office and find out just what it costs, not only for the initial permits.
And they are there to help you and make that a little bit easier for you. And certainly I think all of us want to advocate for the applicants. I've said it the last 2 years, so I'm just going to say it because I'll say it this year and next year. A reminder, and I have very strong feelings about overstepping the boundaries and the fact that we're not an architectural review board, or you're not. We don't have one. And I know you'll all do the best you can. I've been on the no end of the Planning Commission when I appealed a project, so there's always somebody who's happy and somebody who's not. The applicant was happy their project was upheld, and my appeal was denied. So, you know, it's tough to please everybody sometimes, and I know that you all are there to do your best. And thank you for it.
Great. And just to follow up on Carla's last statement, we do encourage you to communicate with staff before the meeting and get your same thing that I support council in doing, get your questions answered. That the Planning Commission meeting is not the place to be probing projects. That should be done before. That's doing your homework. So that, again, the people can move through the process as painlessly as possible. We're here to answer your questions, and I'm going to let Rick, you can direct how you want this to work, but we're here to answer questions now. Your questions.
I don't really have any questions. I think I get it. You know, I've been doing this for a while. I know what it takes to come to a decision. I know that what my habits have been in the past, and I have met with Rob and will continue to meet with Rob on prior to each meeting on every single agenda item and go over it inside and out, so I have a clear understanding of what we're looking at when the meeting is called to order. And I think I can say for the rest of the people on the group, I think they get it. So I'll let them make their comment.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks for bringing me to this commission. I'm excited to get started, and it's been fun so far. Although it's a little nerve-wracking, hopefully I can get over that. And I'd also like to say thanks for sending us down to the planning deal down in Pasadena, as I'm looking forward to that and want to learn as much as we can about it. Rob, also, this book looks like a big help, and thanks for kind of going through that with us. So, you know, all the help we can get is appreciated. And with that, I'll let John.
I'll just go ahead and ditto what Paul said, and thank you for allowing us to serve you and the citizens, and I appreciate the opportunity to learn as much as I can from Mr. Leivick.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments and directions tonight. It was definitely duly noted. And I'd just like to add that I spent the last 2 years on the commission working very hard in a collaborative manner to get unanimous decisions, and I look forward with this new planning commission to work in a collaborative manner to get unanimous decisions. So, thank you.
Rob, thanks for the booklet and all the time on that, and council for their direction.
Start down here. Anything else? Anything else over here? Thank you so much for coming tonight. I hope that it was fruitful for you. I'm available to any of you anytime. I know several of, well, all of you, I guess, you know, I've talked to on the phone. Just call, pick up the phone, call me anytime if you've got a question or concern. I don't mean to speak for my fellow council members, but I know that they would say the same thing. All our numbers are in the books or on the website. We're easy, the easiest people in town to track down. So if you need us, call. And with that, is there anything else from staff? We will adjourn, and we're going to pick up our city council meeting at 6:30. Good evening and welcome to the February 22nd Morro Bay City Council meeting. Thank you all here and in the community for your patience for our late start tonight. We're grateful for your patience. Let the record reflect that all members of the City Council are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Councilmember Carla Borchard. Council members' announcements. Carla?
You got to me too quick. Thank you, Mary Yates, and everyone out there. Just a, let's see, fundraiser Follies is here and everybody else. So National FFA Week, and congratulations to all our high school teams who have made it to the CIF playoffs, and I'll leave it at that.
Nancy?
None this evening.
George? Noah?
Yeah, just quickly, we received an invitation from the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation about their ongoing effort to bring a pool back to Morro Bay, a community pool. They're currently in a very exciting collaboration with the City of Morro Bay, County of San Luis Obispo, and San Luis Coastal Unified School District. And there, the Community Pool Foundation is putting a call out to volunteers to join them and be a part of their board of directors. They're having a general meeting and a meeting for those that might be interested in taking on that role tomorrow. That's Wednesday, February 23rd, 6:30 p.m. at Fitness Works. So if you're interested in the pool and swimming, please show up at that meeting.
Great. Thank you. And I'm just going to make a statement about the street lights. I don't think anybody's kind of crazy about it. It's a little city-ish for the waterfront. And so Andrea and I just batting it around. We're basically going to withdraw this idea of the price came in at $300 to $500, which I don't know how you hear that, but I hear $500. There's 80 street poles, so We're all capable of that math. So PG&E is going to paint the street poles for free, and we're going to ask them to paint and refurbish the tops. Some are missing lenses, and some are missing the little tops on top. And unless there's a council member who really wants to see the streetlights replaced for $40,000, then just bring it up at council declaration time, and we'll put it on the agenda, and we'll talk about it. Otherwise, though, that whole concept is being withdrawn, but we are going to proceed with reducing the signage and painting those poles and the banners and all the other, and Joe's flagpole at the top of the stairs, and there's a lot happening. We didn't have a closed session tonight, so we have no report on that. And we are at public comment. I'm going to ask Ms. Mimi Callen with the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury to come up first. And is there somebody here from the chamber? I know you're from the chamber, but our business person isn't here, correct? No. Okay, come on up, Mimi.
Mayor Yates, members of the council, my name is Mimi Calland, and I was a member of the 2006-2007 County Grand Jury. On behalf of the current and past members of the Grand Jury, I would like to thank you for the proclamation, which I understand is on your consent calendar, recognizing the work of the Grand Jury. February is Grand Jury Month, where we try to raise awareness of everybody in the county. As you know, each year county residents are asked to apply for Grand Jury service. From these applicants, 19 citizens are selected to serve on the county grand jury for 1 year. During that year, they receive a lot of training, review operations of county and local governments, as well as any other publicly funded local organizations. They also inspect the California Men's Colony, the county jails, the local lockups, and they investigate complaints submitted by county citizens. As a result of their work, an annual report provides details of the jury's investigations and findings. It also contains jury recommendations to address any deficiency. Service on the grand jury requires a serious commitment of time and effort, but it also provides an unparalleled opportunity to learn about the inner workings of our local agencies and to the prospect of bringing about real change. The work done by past juries has shown a light on serious problems, has sparked debate about critical issues, and in some cases has resulted in substantial improvement to how our local agencies operate. I would strongly encourage any citizen who is interested in helping improve the local governmental agencies to volunteer for service on the grand jury. The deadline to apply for next year's grand jury is March 18th. If you're interested, I have some applications, and I'll leave them on the back table there, or you can download an application from.
Good evening, Jack. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm Jack McCurdy, Morro Bay resident. As you know, the Coastal Commission staff last Friday issued and posted on the Coastal Commission website its review of the city's wastewater treatment plant application. A number of us is aware of the report, but the community has not been told of it by the city, as far as I know, despite its landmark importance, which I think is a disservice to constituents. Of course, my bias is open government and unfettered information. This paragraph from the report says it all. Prior to bringing this matter back for Coastal Commission review in a de novo coastal development permit hearing context, the applicant will need to provide the information necessary to evaluate the project for consistency with the local COSA plan and the public access and recreation policies of the LCP. Absent information regarding alternative siting and design, the commission will not be in a position to evaluate the proposed project against these requirements and does not intend to schedule a hearing until the city and or the applicant has developed and provided further information to bridge the analytic gaps that are currently present and associated with the proposed project. In other words, this project has no chance of being approved in anything resembling the form it is in now if the commission at its March 11th meeting in Santa Cruz approves the project, which I think is a safe bet. Therefore, the city has reached an obvious dead end in order to save taxpayer funds, produce the most effective, efficient, and best value for taxpayers. The city has only one option: start all over with the goal of conforming with the LCP and the Coastal Act and put a halt to wasting taxpayer money. The obvious requisite is to start again and a new request for proposals, RFP, in order to identify for the public the best possible project at the lowest possible price and put behind us all the failures and the failed contractors of the past. One last point. I don't think the community is aware of the status of the lobbyist contract. I'm not, and have been unable to obtain a copy of the motion to hire lobbyists passed at the February 10th JPA meeting from the Cayuga Sanitary District, which hosted that JPA meeting and was responsible for the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. David? Welcome and good evening.
Thank you. Good evening. I have to go along with Jack on this. I've only read what I know.
Your name for the record, please.
Oh, David Nelson, citizen of Morro Bay. I all I know is what I read in a paper, and I take that with a grain of salt. But I got to tell you, that whole sewer thing, I've been to a lot of the meetings, tried to put in input, and we're stonewalled. I mean, I feel like we're going through the power plant again. And I don't know how many of you know how well we came out on that. I mean, the city took a beating on that. We paid a lot of money for a lot of wasted energy, and we'll never see a power plant there for a lot of good reasons. But here we are again. We're going to hire a lobby fighting renewable energy in this state. It's an uphill battle for them. I mean, it's going to be what's going to happen. I mean, I'm sure some of you don't believe in global warming, et cetera, but, you know, the laws are passed, and we're supposed to be getting to 33% of our energy from renewable energy. And this is the same problem, is because the people with the money that produces the independent operators have the money, and they have our politicians bought off. Now, we need to step up and start doing the right thing. This sewer plant is not the right thing. I mean, from the beginning, I've called for upgrading our sewer so we stop dumping ocean into the ocean. And here we are going to build a ridiculous 20th century plant in the 21st century for far more money than we have to spend. And that should be your job. I mean, our staff and stuff, most of them don't live in town, but all of you live in town, and we're all going to be paying for this. So why wouldn't we want the best value and the best sewer plant that we can get? And our site that we have our sewer plant on, it's old. It's going to be underwater. I mean, all chances are. And that's why you're not going to get an environmental impact report through. And there's a lot of people who are going to stand up against you. So why even try to fight it? It's wrong. I mean, it's on its face. It's wrong. You're not filling in all the blanks. You're trying to build loopholes like the power plant did, and the power plant didn't get away with it, and I can assure you that the sewer plant's not going to get away with it. Far too many people are watching government. We want the government to work right. So, you know, this whole idea of doing this trench sewer plant is way out of line. It's going to cost way too much money.
Thank
and
you,
look
David.
At the sewer plants that are
Thank
there.
Thank you, David.
Pismo's already dumped, so that's what you're going to buy.
Thank you, David. Good evening again, Richard.
Good evening. Richard Stowski, citizen of North Morro Bay. Back in 2007, I co-authored a report regarding the Joint Powers Agreement and the shortcomings that are involved there. One of the things that was brought up, there's several issues that really have been stonewalled by staff for now, almost 4 years. State parks is not paying their fair share for the wastewater treatment plant. They pump their sewage from the state parks into our facilities, our collection system. That is not being addressed properly. That we don't have proper flow rates that are being measured there. California Parks and Rec, they have all these lift stations as well. These things, all these agencies need to come in
into the discussion with this, but regarding our JPA agreement, it was written by a former Cayucas Sanitary District attorney and board member named Terry Schubert. And it is a document that is so one-sided for Cayucas. Cayucas, when I worked there, they were using Morro Bay's emergency services and not getting, and Morro Bay wasn't compensated. I know that for a fact. There was exfiltration and infiltration, I believe. And there's a couple of the board members that do, I know, have it, and Noah was one of them. But, yeah, I would see that's a priority as well, that we need to review and review our agreements there with Cayucas. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Good evening again, Mrs. Dorr.
Barbara Dorr, resident of Morro Bay. My comments refer to agenda items A2, increase in comp time accruals for police officers from 100 to 120 hours, and A5, authorization for attendance of two staff members at the CMEC annual meeting in Washington, D.C. Pardon?
Forgive me for interrupting, and I very
seldom do this. That's fine. I interrupted you.
Okay, we're even now.
It's fair.
A2 has been pulled off. Off the agenda,
okay.
Just so you know.
Rather than address the department's specific proposals, I prefer to comment in general. It's hard to talk anything against the police and the harbor. Today I reviewed the MOUs found on the city's website to compare comp time accruals. SEIU is 60, confidential employees is 40 hours, fire is 140, and POA is currently 100, none for management, of course. Questions arose while reading. Why is it an increase to 120 hours needed? Why not a reduction? Does the higher accrual level attribute to or become part of the employee final year or years of compensation on which his or her retirement benefit is based? Does allowing the accrual of greater amounts of comp time increase the need for overtime, especially when an hour of overtime worked is accrued at an hour and a half of comp time? After listening to the problems in Wisconsin and reading the MOUs, it seems better to directly provide pay increases rather than approve somewhat hidden monetary benefits. Also today, I reviewed the city's budget, trying to determine how much Morro Bay spends for travel, conference, professional development, and memberships each year. There is no place in the budget where an interested citizen or an elected official can find the city's proposed expenditures for these items. I realize the budget cover letter states that this streamlined format of our budget allows council to focus on bottom line for city programs. However, when city staffing is detrimentally affecting the Morro Bay residents and businesses, I believe it's fair to ask for more detail in the budget. Here again, I had questions. What is the total annual budget for the travel conference, et cetera, for the city? Two, does the cost of travel conference, et cetera, equal the cost of hiring a needed staff person or improve service to city residents and businesses? Three, the budget cover letter states that the level of reductions will have some impact on city services. Response times may be longer, public counters may not always be staffed, and some facilities may have reduced operating hours. Yet staff and I retain a can-do, that's Andrea, organizational philosophy, and from all the department heads, which is wonderful. Why not eliminate travel, et cetera, and provide improved city services? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've brought my statements. I don't know if you receive and file documents, but
you
here
can, you can give it
if you
there.
Could.
Thanks.
Community Foundation. You'll be asked for your approval for the Morro Bay Community Foundation to sell the advertising signs on the Morro Bay citywide trolley system, with the end result being a split of the revenue. This type of partnership is very beneficial for both the foundation and the city, as it removes the burden of selling the signs from the staff, thus freeing up valuable staff time. And very importantly, it also allows the Morro Bay Community Foundation a fundraising mechanism that helps the city. It is a win-win-win partnership with the extra special win at the end for the young athletes that will be participating in the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Department programs through the funding that is made available by the Morro Bay Community Foundation. Thank you in advance for your support of the trolley sales program tonight. Finally, I would like to remind you that Del Mar Elementary School is your only elementary school in town. We have a wonderful group of very talented teachers, staff, and parent volunteers that help to make it a California Distinguished School. I've placed an application for PTA membership in front of many of you tonight, and I ask that you fill that out and accompany it with your $5 donation dues. I would say to you that the $5 donation, which can be whopping, is probably the smallest donation that you'll pay to be a member of a service club in our town. So I ask that you return that to 501 Sequoia Avenue. I am your PTA president. If you have any questions about your membership and what it gets besides an ability to reach all of the parents of all of the school-age children, it gives you availability to our website and to our events calendar. I appreciate your membership, and thank you for your support of the Morro Bay Community Foundation.
Thank you for coming tonight, Joan. Hi, Marla. Welcome back.
Thank you. Marla Jobertan, North Morro Bay. I'd like to also on, A5 make a comment on, as well as the former speaker brought this up as well. You know, it's a small town, and the rumor is that Mayor Yates and that city attorney Rob Schultz went to Colorado to check out their medical marijuana dispensaries and how they handle that there. And the rumor is that you liked how, you know, that went. Anyway, I would like to know if you did that. If you did it, number one. Two, did you do it on the city account? And three, did you do it just as friends? Or if it's not on the city account, you did it privately? Where's the connection between the line between separation of staff and elected officials? And that brings me to another question about on the JPA, the last JPA, Mayor Yates and Mr. Inns put forth a proposal that if a lobbyist were hired, that Mayor Yates and Mr. Inns would converse with the staff and with the lobbyist, and then our two officials would present that to the public. And I'm wondering how that was made, and I want to know, did you know that Jan Marks was up? She's from the city of San Luis Obispo, that she's also put in her nominee, call for nominee. And, and there's no one else. also, if I have a minute or so, I just want to reiterate on the JPA, too, the McCabe Consulting the city and Cayucas decided that they would do a one-month $12,500 contract to start out with McCabe. McCabe has been the Port of San Diego did not renew her contract in June because of misbehavior.
Your time's up.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
And Marla, I will address your questions at the end. Keith, good evening.
Good evening, Mayor Yates, council, staff. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. I'm here mainly to let the public know what's going on with phase two of our fire department, which I feel is pretty important to all of us. We got awarded the $1,602,000, and we can start to draw on it, which, according to the chief, we have. We have to redo the plans for the heating system because we were going to use an HVAC system that evidently was not American-made, and part of this grant, we have to use American-made products. So Fraser and Seiple are redoing the drawings for this, and they should be done within a week or so, according to what the chief said. After that's done, it then goes to our planning department for the plan check. I call it approval. And that should be done pretty quickly because the staff, I have to give them a lot of kudos because they're working hard on this. They're not messing around. And after that happens, I thought, well, geez, now we can go out to bid. Wrong. It has to go back to FEMA and the USDA for approval. So the chief, being the optimist that he is, thinks 30 days. I don't think the government can do anything in 30 days, but we'll see. Then we get it back, and it will then be sent out to bid. After it comes back to bid, our esteemed mayor and council will award the bid, and then shovels will go on the ground. Well, the chief thinks it's going to be a certain date, and I'm thinking no. So I'm going to say toward the end of summer. And when that happens, the Friends of the Morro Bay Fire Department will be out soliciting sales of bricks. And I think everyone in town should get this. And I want to thank Mayor and Council for your support and the staff who's been just tremendous for this. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
Hi, welcome. Pull a mic right down to you. There you
Virginia
go.
Hiramatsu, resident of Morro Bay, and I represent Relay for Life, which will be taking place. It's a bunco game, and it's going to be co-sponsored by the Morro Bay Rotary Club, and they are representing Polio Plus. And this will be at St. Timothy's at 6 p.m. on March 16th. It costs $20. There will be food, and the food will be $4, and there will be a no-host bar, which is provided by the Rotary Club. You can win prizes from this, and all the proceeds will be divided between Rotary and Relay for Life. So come and have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hiramatsu. Who would like to go next? Good evening. Welcome.
Richard Margaretson, Cayucas. Couple things. I want to, first of all, talk about the wastewater project and the staff report that came out Friday from the Coastal Commission. I'm going to read a couple sections and hope you get it. Jack McCurdy read part of this, but I want to reiterate it. Staff recommends that the commission find that the city's approval of a CDP for this project raises a substantial local coastal plan conformance issue related to core local coastal plan and applicable Coastal Act coastal resource protection requirements. And here's the operative language. And staff recommends that the commission take jurisdiction over the CDP application. Jurisdiction. You don't want them taking jurisdiction over this coastal development permit. Second segment of this report, Jack read this earlier. Absent information regarding alternative siting and design, the commission will not be in a position to evaluate the proposed project against these requirements and does not intend to schedule a hearing until the city and or the applicant has developed and provided further information to bridge the analytic gaps that are currently present and associated with the proposed project. I don't know how much clearer it can be. I don't know why there hasn't been an emergency meeting of the JPA called to address this report. You talk about wasting time and prolonging this project. Fight this. Fight this, and you'll waste more time than you need to. Don't hire the lobbyist. Use that money to start this alternatives analysis. But what's really ironic from what happened tonight at this meeting and the joint meeting with the Planning Commission, and I just want to make sure I understand this. The project's been worked on for years. Went to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission denied the project. Mayor Yates chastised the Planning Commission, had an agenda item previous meeting, I don't know if it was the last meeting, to remove all of the planning commissioners.
Craig Schmidt, Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. I'm here to talk about chili and beer. So a little bit about with wastewater, but not exactly the same. I want to invite you to Chili Cook-Off and Beer Fest, March 12th. A portion of the admissions does go to the Morro Bay Community Foundation, so we're proud to have that partnership going on this year. And we're also looking for any chili heads that have wonderful recipes that they want to compete in the People's Choice Award. So hope to see you there March 12th. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
Hi. Hi, I'm Janice Peters, citizen of Morro Bay. I want to talk about the follies, but first I did want to respond to some of the things that have been said here. Working with the Coastal Commission, it's a process of information, education, and negotiation. And that's where a lobbyist comes in very helpful, because we can't have somebody there all the time at their meetings. And that's very important. Nothing is approved, I don't think, at the Coastal Commission level as submitted. And I find it sad that our citizens who lost their arguments on this issue previously are now actively working against the city and potentially will cost their fellow citizens thousands of dollars because they didn't get their way. I find that really sad and kind of shameful. Anyway, I do support your support of Marianne Reese to the Coastal Commission. She's very aware of coastal issues and very sympathetic to them and would be a very good advocate for us. Now, onto the happy stuff. The fundraiser Follies is this Friday and Saturday at the Community Center. Tickets are $15 for adults, $5 for students with ID, and that means even college kids. And the theme is Divas and Crooners. Tickets are on sale at the Senior Center, the Community Center, and also at the Chamber of Commerce, and also at the door. There will be pizza provided by Noah and Carla. There will be lavender lemonade provided by Nancy Johnson. There will be beer and wine sold and cookies provided by the Morro Bay Seniors. Some of the artists that will be represented by local talent are Dolly Parton, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Roy Orbison, Patsy Cline, Doris Day, Patti Page, Garth Brooks, Hank Williams, Adam Lambert, Tom Jones, Petula Clark, Mama Cass, Tony Bennett, Joe Cocker, John Lennon, and Willie Nelson. Now, where can you get that kind of variety and talent anywhere but at the Fundraiser Follies in Morro Bay? So I hope you will all be there Friday, Saturday night. Doors open at 6:30, so you can get your goodies when you have your food, and then the show starts at 7. So we hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thanks, Janice. Thanks for coming down tonight. Good evening.
Hi. I'm Dan Glessman, a Morro Bay resident, and I came to speak with you tonight about item A2, which I understand you pulled. So I'd like to just make a comment about the philosophy that that represented. As a responsible employer, Morro Bay has a duty to partner with its career employees to develop and provide for sustainable pensions. You, Council, also have a responsibility to your citizens to develop and maintain sustainable budgets in order to deliver vital public services over the long haul. You know what needs to be done. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Gary Johnson, resident of Morro Bay. I had to say something when they start talking about hiring these people to help us get the sewer system in. I don't like these kind of people any more than you do, but that's the way politics work. And I was at the Morro Bay when we tried to put the boardwalk in Monterey. The Coastal Commission treated not only the city employees, but treated everybody that got up and spoke like dirt. They were disrespectful to us. You couldn't believe it. It was horrible the way they treated us. And not only that, I've been wanting to say this for some time, because not only did after we spoke, I had Betty Winhope behind me. going like this. We don't want the boardwalk. Not only that, when she got up and spoke, she says, we do not need that boardwalk. Those are her words. Because it is a potential site of striped snails. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Anybody else? Hi, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I have one comment.
You state your name for the record.
Ann Reeves, Morro Bay. Are your meetings going to become a platform to lambast everybody? Is everybody going to come up here and name people and say nasty things about them? The last two, I think it was the last two comments, are very disheartening. I don't come here to listen to this. I come here to see city business.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay, everybody down. Okay, I'll go last. Hey, guys.
It's Gary Hickson again. There's more people watching me than the Planning Commission, so...
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Gary Hickson. I live at 761 Butte Avenue, apartment 5. And by the way, you're supposed to state your address for the record. And I thought the comments were really good. It takes a lot. Most of them were fundraisers. She did make a point, though, about the comments. But, you know, it takes all kinds, and I'm no better. I try to cheer everybody up. I'm doing the Gary Hickson Show, and I can't call it the Gary Tyler Moore Show because it's copyright violation. So I'm on 3 days a week on Slow Copa, and I'm trying to attend more of these meetings. Let me put my glasses on here. My friends are kind of watching me, so I'm pretty good at doing this. But I'm trying to advertise for the music store, and you guys know me because you see me walking around all day, and sometimes I walk around like I'm on the warpath because I get angry. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that Kristen Smart disappeared, and I probably shouldn't talk about that, but they never found her, and she was my friend. So when I'm doing the Biotronic Woman, I'm not gay, but I play a girl. It's supposed to be like Kristen, where I have really long blonde hair, so... There's an anger in there that she's missing, and Andrea Crawford and Rachel Newhouse, I knew all those people. I was at Roanoke of God for 5 years, and Joseph Goodwin's out there and some friends of mine, and we got into an argument. He told me never to come back, but that's his doing.
Okay, then I will close public comment and bring it back to council. I want to thank Mimi. I guess she left for her grand jury comments. Excuse me, I only have to cough when I'm speaking. And Jack, thanks for coming down, and David, and Richard, and Barbara. Joan, thanks for coming out. Marla, I'll come back to Marla and Ann here at the end. Keith, and Virginia, and Richard, and Craig, and Janice, of course. Dan, Gary Johnson, and Gary Hickson here at the end, and Ann Reeves. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate you coming, taking the time to come down here and address us. I'll address Marla first. She had several things here. First, Rob Schultz and my trip to Colorado to look at all the medical marijuana dispensaries. Well, that never happened. That's never even thought of. So wherever that rumor got started, the first I've heard of it, Craig Schmidt started it. You know, that's just the wildest thing that I've heard all night. Regarding a lobbyist, the way this was left, we did not hire a lobbyist to lobby. We hired a lobbyist to look over all the materials and give us advice back, which she will be doing publicly to the JPA, not privately. Marianne Reese, Shelley Higginbotham wrote me an email and asked for Morro Bay support. Almost simultaneously, Councilmember Carla Borchard asked me to do a letter for support, and I was on board with that, and so I put it on the agenda. And when it comes up to that time, we'll see what happens. And I have Coastal Commission written here, but I don't remember what that was about, so I apologize to Marla for that. Ms. Reeves, we appreciate you coming down. We always appreciate your input. got this First Amendment thing here. You've heard me say many times, I do encourage everybody to be respectful. There's nothing I can do about it when someone chooses not to be. And if you are offended by a citizen's remarks, then I would support you confronting the citizen. But anybody can come up here and, short of, you know, obscenities, they can pretty much say whatever they want. That's America. That's where we live. And that's the way we live. And it's the way it is. Any other comments? Carla? Over here? Okay, then. Well, the rules were late on public hearing, so we are going to go straight to B1. Ms. Luker.
Thank you and good evening. Item B1 is approval of Resolution 17-11 designating $500,000 in parking and lieu funds for 40 parking spaces at 714 Embarcadero, and I'll turn it over to Rob Schultz, our city attorney, for that presentation.
Good evening. Before you tonight is Resolution 1711. Basically, what we are doing is we want to transfer and designate $500,000 to the property at 714 Embarcadero, which currently provides the city with 67 spaces. It's 60 in the report, but I believe it's 67 spaces. The funds for this purchase, however, were not taken out of parking in lieu money and were used with general fund money. The reason for that is we weren't ultimately sure what exactly was going to happen to the property at that time, and we didn't want to encumber it with the parking in lieu fund. In 2009, the City Council determined that the property at that corner of Market and Pacific was underutilized because of its location away from the Embarcadero in the downtown area, and decided that it was surplus property and has recently sold that property. Now that that property at the corner of Pacific and Market has been sold, it is necessary to designate a project for the use of the $500,000 in lieu parking fee fund, consistent with the requirements of our municipal code and the government code. Since the property located at 714 was purchased using general funds and currently provides the city with 60 parking spaces that are unencumbered by the parking in lieu funds, the city can designate 40 spaces at 714 Embarcadero as a project for the parking in lieu funds. So Resolution 1711 accomplishes that task. That project, though, at 714 would now be encumbered. If in the future we ever declared that property surplus and sold it, you would have to, again, replace $500,000 back into the parking in lieu funds or find 40 spaces elsewhere to encumber. Or the third item would be if you sold it, you could also encumber the property for the new owner, that they'd have to remain with 40 public spaces regardless of what they developed. And with that, I'll turn it back to council.
Questions? Nancy? All right, I'll keep my comments to myself then, since nobody wants to say, oh, no, I won't either. It seems like a bunch of hocus pocus to me. I mean, you've already got the parking down there, and now, you know, it's just, what's the point of this?
Well, you're using general fund money for it right now to purchase that. So by doing that, when we receive the money from the sale of the property, it goes to the general fund as opposed to going to the parking in lieu fund. So
that's what you want, is you want the $500,000 in the general fund. That's what this is about, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And we could have, though. I mean, the other part of this could have been when we purchased the property in 2002, when we purchased 714, we could have used over $500,000 of the parking in lieu fund at that time, and then this wouldn't have come forward to you. So, I mean, it's because we used general fund money and didn't use parking in lieu. We're now doing after the fact. We're using parking in lieu funds. But you certainly can have the option of, when the money comes in, replacing it back in the parking in lieu and designating another area for parking in lieu funds.
More hocus pocus. I know you don't see it that way. I'll retract that comment. This is a public hearing. If any of you would like to address council on this item, this is the appropriate time. Good evening again, Mrs. Dorr.
Barbara Dorr, resident, Morro Bay. Didn't plan on saying anything, but after listening to this, if we're just freeing up parking in lieu fees to...
to approve adopt resolution number 17-11.
I guess I'll second it for discussion.
Well, it hasn't been moved.
Oh, I thought you were making a motion, you just said.
I said I was looking for a motion.
Oh.
Go ahead and make your comments.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll withdraw that. I would be interested in language being included in.
Is your mic on?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Language, thank you. Being included in the resolution that would not allow us to draw down against it until it's received, and then I guess it would beg the question of whether we would wait till the balloon payment was received from the property, or if we would have a percentage of each year's income that comes in be reimbursed towards it. My concern would be that if at some point there was a default on the property or something, we had drawn against it and spent it, then it could create a problem.
Can anybody address the question of what's going to happen with a half mil?
Yeah. Any of the payments wouldn't go into the general fund until they're actually received. So as of right now, you encumbered the first $247,000 to the maintenance fund, not to 201. $201,000 into the maintenance fund. So now the reason why we bring this forward is we will receive another payment this coming year, and that would now go into the general fund if this is passed. If it was not passed, it would go to the parking in lieu. And then each year will go into the general fund as opposed to replacing it into the parking in lieu fund. So we wouldn't pre-spend the money until it's actually received. It wouldn't even go into the general fund until it's received because there's no revenue yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, except that it's going to come in incrementally below. So are you saying that the intent then is to utilize the money that comes in each year instead of putting it in the facilities account, you're going to put it in general
fund?
Well,
you can decide where that goes.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, you would decide where in the general fund it goes. It can go in reserve. It can go in revenues. It could go in the maintenance fund. That's going to be up to you to decide.
The balloon payment's due in 8 years, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And all the interest payments each year can be shown, and you can decide where those funds would go each year.
The first $201,000 has already been transferred to. That's a done deal. So now we're talking about the next money that comes in. And that concerns me, too, is that you've got $500,000 coming in into the general fund. You know what, it's like windfall money, whether it's one time or it's over 5 years, it's still windfall money that comes to an end, and that's going to be folded into general fund and expended. And I mean, what is the intention with the money?
That would be your intention. If you want to use it for capital projects, if you want to put it in reserve, I mean, my intention was just to designate as that. And, we can talk to Susan about bringing back a plan for you if you want when the payments all come in and what you want to use it for. That was your choice. I don't think staff was looking at this in any way to pay for operational costs, because we do realize it's one-time money.
Well, that's my concern, and I think that's what Carl expressed. Yes?
Yeah, and it's just that, the intent, and I agree with the intent to unencumber general fund money and utilize it, the parking and lieu money, which to me is appropriate, because that was originally purchased with general fund money, because there wasn't enough in the parking in lieu, or it would have been originally.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see it spent down in advance. I would rather, whether it's the $500,000 goes in when the balloon payment's due, or half of the money that comes in each year reimburses that value, but some sort of language to it.
If you would like, my suggestion on that is, because it's kind of different than the parking in lieu, is just to bring back a resolution with the proceed schedule, and bringing back a resolution that specifically tells staff that those funds shall be used as authorized by City Council, if that's the way you want to do it.
I think either that makes sense, or bringing the whole thing back, but then we have to have another public hearing would make sense, rather than trying to change the language of this. Agree? Over here.
And then we can just lay out the payment schedules so you've got it in a resolution, and that those won't be used for general fund operational purposes and will be designated by council.
But that's a separate resolution,
yeah,
you're talking about. So that's what I would support, is bring it back. One of us declare it at the appropriate time, and we'll bring it back with another resolution so we protect that money.
As long as
well,
that's okay with
we'll
me.
Hear from them now.
Thank you.
How about you, Nancy?
That's good for me. I certainly don't want to go around spending money we don't have before we have it and not knowing where what's going where. I mean, I realize we have to repay the parking in lieu fund, but let's not do it until we have the money to do it with. So I would be glad to see a new resolution that explains all of this and lays it out for us.
George? No?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very important we keep it separate and distinct, and we carefully manage these funds to their best ability.
Now, I would be looking to hear a motion adopting resolution number 17-11.
And within that motion, we can call for the to have a resolution brought back to us, actually drawing out the payment schedule and a plan to manage the funds.
We can do that now? Yeah, we can do that now.
Okay. I move we approve resolution 17-11, designating $500,000 in parking and lieu funds for 40 parking spaces at 714 Embarcadero, and that we direct staff to return with a resolution illustrating the payment schedule for these funds and clearly identifying that these funds are special one-time use and asking for council's direction on the plan's management of these funds at that point.
Second.
Well, I'll see it in writing, I guess. Did you get that? AGP got it.
I could have said that a little more quickly, I'm sure.
Do you want to rephrase it?
You have a mint cookie, I think.
I take one of those. Do you want to make it simpler?
Well, I guess I'll retract that. And
can I make a suggestion? Just kind of forgive me for doing this publicly. But you don't need to read the whole thing. You can just say, motion adopting resolution number 17-11. That does it. And then okay. You don't have to read the whole title. And Great. Then if you could just kind of shorten down the second part, we'd be so grateful.
Okay, that we, I would retract my first statement and or motion and move that we approve Resolution 17-11 and request or direct staff to bring back a resolution with a payment schedule and the council's managerial policy for those funds.
Okay, love it.
And I will withdraw my first, second, and resecond the motion.
Okay, very clean, motion. Very nice. Any discussion?
Okay, I just want to be perfectly clear here that we're not spending any of this money until we see the breakdown of what's going where, and we don't have
the money.
So this, yeah, right.
And we're going to bring back a resolution within two or three meetings max. Which is going to be many, many meetings before we even see this money. So we're covered.
Well, this whole parking in lieu thing and the money back and forth reminds me a lot of what you said, which you retracted at the beginning of the meeting. You know, is it there, you know, like magic money and non-existent parking places? So we've got that fixed now with this motion, right?
Well, what I'm hearing you is you want to protect the $500,000 and
then
we've got that covered. That's okay. Covered with Noah's motion. Anything else, George? Everybody good? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Do you want to go back and pick up consent at this point? Is that okay with everybody? All right, we're going to do consent calendar now. Items A2 and A3 are pulled off of this agenda. And item A6 has been pulled by Nancy. For this meeting. And any others to pull? Carla? Noah?
I don't have anything to pull, but I would like an update on A2 as far as it's been pulled. So what is the plan now?
Item A2, we'll be bringing that back to you in closed session, probably at your next council meeting, and then putting it back on open session with the attached MOU.
George, you okay with everything else? Could I hear a motion approving items A1, A4, and A5, and A7?
So moved.
Discussions.
Second.
Oops, did I say discussion before it was seconded? Mm-hmm. So sorry about that.
It's okay. Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion carries 5-0. A6, Nancy.
Okay, I just had a couple of questions, and I guess I should direct them to Janine since it's her staff report. This is regarding the grant application for transportation modernization improvement and service enhancement, which sounds like a good idea. My question comes in the second paragraph where it says fiscal impact, and the first sentence says there is no fiscal impact to applying to this grant. Then as you read down in that paragraph, it says the remaining funding for the project would come from other areas that also use the facility, combination enterprise measure Q and general fund at levels yet to be allocated. That says to me there's more money, and what's the total cost for this project?
Thank you. Correct. This is just a portion of funding for this project. It would be transit's representation of the total project cost, which I think within the grant application, which was attached, is about $2 million. And the transit grant representation would be about 15% of that, which would be transit's portion. And when I said there was no fiscal impact to applying for the grant itself, there was no fiscal impact. The project itself would have a fiscal impact. And the portion that's being talked about for this item is specifically the transit-related component. The other funding sources will be coming back at a later date as the project will need to move forward and to need to get that additional funding to get it going. Because of the grant cycles and this Proposition 1B funding is dependent on bond sales, and the state's delayed bond sales and move forward with them, and sometimes the bond sale didn't generate the entire amount. We are applying for it now as opposed to waiting a couple of more years to when the project is getting ready to be initiated, so that we would make sure we would have enough time to go through the transit grant process to get the funding available. Should the council decide they don't want to apply for this grant, we will pull it from SLOCOG, and then we will at a later date pursue other transit funding from the Rural Transit grant at a later date if you'd rather that to occur.
Okay, so
that brings up, whoops.
Here, now I'm on. the next question. So you've already filed the application, the way I read this, I understand, and you need approval from the council for having done this.
Correct. The timing, the SLOCOG put out a call for projects at the end of January, and their return date for their deadline date for the grant applications was about a week later, a little over a week. So there was not enough time to put this on a council agenda until now. So SLOCOG staff has said, because the city is not the only agency in this situation, that the grant applications could be submitted, a follow-up with the resolution from your council. And as I mentioned in the staff report, if council decides they don't want to pursue this grant, then we would just send notice to SLOCOG that we are withdrawing our application.
Okay, so just to be perfectly clear here, tonight you're just asking for our approval to submit the grant. You are not
Correct.
Asking for approval of this project.
Correct, of the $2 million.
Right.
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you.
You okay in that?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Go ahead.
So the follow-up to that would be, as we get into the details of this project, would these funds be transferable if there's any major changes with the project?
The Proposition 1B funds have specific purposes, so while there is some leeway to if this grant is funded from the state and approved and allocated, there is some leeway in what we could request that it be changed to, but it still has to fit within the project descriptions for what these funds can be used for, which is basically transit capital safety-related improvements.
So specifically the details with the project for the whole corporation yard, we're not tying ourselves into any of the descriptions that you've laid here as we get into that conversation later on.
The information that's provided in the staff report and the grant application came from the Corpyard modernization study, needs assessment study that was done. In that study, it didn't identify a specific project in terms of, it gave a couple of different options to go with. Those have not been selected yet. It's just the general modernization of the courtyard, rehabbing facilities, bringing them into code compliance, that kind of thing. The actual final project description would be coming at a later date.
George? Okay, could I hear a motion approving item May 6th?
So moved.
Discussion? Well, let's hear a second. I'll second it. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. C1. Andrea.
Item C1 is an update on Morro Bay Transit and approval of revising the call a ride eligibility policy, and I will turn it over to Janine Burlingame, our management analyst, for that presentation.
Thank you, and good evening again. Tonight I'm just going to give a little update on Morro Bay Transit. As you're aware, because of the funding cutbacks from the state of our Transportation Development Act monies for transit, over the last several fiscal years, the city could no longer afford to operate the door-to-door dial-a-ride service. And after several public hearings had approved changing to a flex fixed route or a deviated fixed route service that began this fiscal year. The flex fixed route is a combination of a fixed route with a curb-to-curb component to it that still kept some of that dial-a-ride type nature that would allow for flexing off the fixed route to pick up and drop off passengers who had pre-scheduled trips. And what the council had done at that time as well was to establish a policy for the call-a-ride trips and who would be eligible to use those. The concern at the time was that there might be so much need for the service that it would outstrip the capacity that was available for it, and the council wanted to make sure that those who truly needed that specialized curb-to-curb, door-to-door type service would be able to have access to it. So that's where the restriction on the eligibility of who could use the service came about, to be just seniors, disabled, and students K through 12. Since the operation began about 8 months ago, we have 7 months of actual operating data available, which some of it is highlighted on page 2 of your staff report. And from an operational standpoint, the flex fixed route service has been working well. Many passengers are expressing that they like the new service. They like there's an hourly, what we call a memory schedule, so that at a particular time each hour, the vehicle is in a particular location, and it's easy for users to remember where they need to go to pick up the bus. In addition, they also like not having to call every day for a ride. With the call-a-ride trips, the deviations off the fixed route and getting back onto route have been working seamlessly. There's been enough time built into the system, and they're able to get the drivers are able to get off off the fixed route, make the pickup, and get back on time without having any delays in getting to the next stop. So I'm not going to go into all the details of the ridership breakout on page 2, but just briefly that the fixed route trips make up 90%, and the call-a-ride trips are making up 10% of the total ridership. Some of the fare assumptions or ridership assumptions when we were developing the budget before the service had started, we had to make assumptions about how people were going to use the service in order to figure out the different fare categories and the revenue for the budget. And since service has been in operation, we've noticed that a lot of those assumptions have not borne out. And in some of the cases, we're seeing the runabout service from the Regional Transit Authority. More of their vehicles are in town, so we think that some of the former dial-a-ride users have become ADA qualified to use the runabout service. There's the constraint on the call-a-ride trips. We have former dial-a-ride users, regular riders who live in areas of town in the north and the south that have steep streets that are not accessing the fixed route, and they're not eligible for the call a ride trips, so we're not seeing those individuals riding. We also are seeing that there are riders splitting trips, where on their outgoing trip, a senior or disabled individual is using the fixed route. But after they're done, when they've got their groceries or they've got their packages from the end of their day or they're just tired, they're doing the call-a-ride trip back home. So that has made a big impact with the fare revenue as well, because you're losing about $1.90 per trip or per round trip for those. And although we have some anecdotal comments from riders, we don't have specific data, but the call-a-ride trip fare may be too high, and some people, that might be a barrier for them to use the service. But we don't know that for sure. Some have kind of grumbled about the fare, but they're still riding. Others, we haven't heard from. At this point, staff has developed a survey that's going to be sent to all Morro Bay Postal customers, and it's going to be going to print tomorrow. And should be, by the end of next week, be in everybody's mailbox. And the survey is designed to do a couple of things. What we want to do is we want to identify if there's people who are using the service or not, and if they're not, what are some of the reasons they're not, and are these barriers to them using the service that we can make tweaks and adjustments to for the next fiscal year, and get those people to ride the service. The other is in relation to fares and in trying to determine whether the call-a-ride trip fare is a barrier for individuals and whether that needs to be looked at to be adjusted for next fiscal year as well. So the survey is going to be out for about a month. We're asking that surveys are due back at the beginning of April, and that would give staff enough time to tally the results and see if there's any adjustments that would need to come to the council for consideration for recommendations on making any changes and modifications so we can incorporate those into the budget for next fiscal year. The survey will also be available electronically at the city's transit website, so that if somebody would rather to fill it out and send it electronically to the city, they'll be able to do that as well. With the call-a-ride eligibility policy, I've mentioned a little bit how there are some former dial-a-ride regular riders who are not able to access the service, particularly call-a-ride, because of the locations of where they live on the steep streets. And staff is requesting that council consider revising that policy to expand it to include all residents of Morro Bay, all of the general public. And currently, the capacity that's available for call-a-ride trips throughout the day, a little less than a third are being used by call-a-ride riders. So there's more than two-thirds of capacity that's going unused. And that has an effect on ridership. It has an effect on fare box. And so changing that policy to include all members of the general public would allow for increased ridership and increased fare revenue for that category. One last little item I wanted to give a very brief update on is the Transit Efficiencies Group. Some of you may be aware that in 2009, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments Board had directed their staff to work with the various cities and agencies and the Regional Transit Authority to try to identify any efficiencies or cost savings that could occur with better or additional coordination or consolidation of functions and services. And that group broke down into regions who then have been meeting off and on over the last couple of years to try to come up with concepts that might work for consolidation, to see if there's efficiencies that could be made through better consolidation. Some of the things that have happened with that have been the uniform fare policies, having a uniform senior age so that if you're traveling from one jurisdiction to another and they're transit agencies, you're fairly certain that if you're a senior in Morro Bay, you're a senior in San Luis. And for specifically the North Coast region, and it's more detailed in your staff report on pages 3 and 4 that I'm not going to go into extensive detail, but a concept was developed by SLOCOG staff that would basically consolidate transit services locally between Morro Bay and Los Osos. And the concept that was developed, staff feels has a lot of deficiencies that still needs to get worked on to determine if it's something that will be beneficial for Morro Bay residents and to bring to the City Council. So we've resumed meetings last month. We're going to be meeting again later this month to continue with that concept and seeing if there's adjustments that could be made to it that would be acceptable and beneficial to Morro Bay residents to bring to the council for consideration, or if not, then our participation with the Transit Efficiencies Group would be at an end. So what I'd like to do is turn it back over to council for any questions or comments. And as far as the recommendation, staff is recommending that the council receive the update on Morro Bay Transit and to approve revising the call a ride eligibility policy to include all members of the general public to be effective immediately. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Thanks. Good report, Janine. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. My first question is regarding the survey, and I realize you were trying to turn that around as quickly as possible to get the information back to us for the budget cycle. Were you planning on, is it an enclosed envelope survey, or how is it formatted?
No, it's a bulk mailing, so it's going to be an 8.5 by 11 that's folded in half, and it's going to be one side is going to have seven questions total. I didn't want to make it too long so people wouldn't want to fill it out, and then on the back side, half of it has some information about Morro Bay Transit.
Okay, good. That was my question. I feel it's important that we use that opportunity to announce that. My other request is that the senior center's working with their Friendly Ride program, and they've issued a couple of calls for volunteers, and it would seem we'd want to include their information there so people realize there was an alternative option, and that option needs some support as well. And if we can include that on the electric version, I'd appreciate that. My other question having to do with the rider category breakdown, we've got 74% using the fixed routes, and you have in here 7% for the RTA. Does that mean 7% are coming or connecting to the RTA routes?
No. What that refers to is In the box above under the different breakdown, you have RTA pass, and there is a 31-day pass and a regional day pass that the city's fixed route accepts and honors. So that 7% represents riders who have an RTA 31-day or day pass that have come onto our system.
Okay. And that leads to my other question is, are we currently synced fairly well with the RTA system at the transit center?
For some trips, yes. For other trips, that's a little bit longer to wait. It's something that when the fixed route was being developed, there were school times for the high school and the elementary school. There's varied pickup or starting times and ending times, as well as trying to balance those with the RTA trip times. So it is something that we're looking at to see if we can make shifts to that would be more, that we'd be able to connect more with the regional service. My understanding also is that Route 12 right now has some issues or has had issues with being on time. So until I'd hesitate modifying our schedule until they get that under control or they make their modifications, and then we can see about where we are and how we can better get those times coordinated.
Okay. And a general comments or question is, I'm looking at our numbers, and they're not looking very good, especially considering that we have certain requirements from the state for our funding. And at this point, the 5 riders per hour average, my assumption would be that that's not going to cut it when it comes to the point where the state's identifying whether we're in compliance with their requirements. And I was wondering if you could comment to that, where we're at and what we might be looking at when we come to that point.
with regard to state requirements, that they look at fare box ratio, and that's really for the state transit assistance portion of the Transportation Development Act funding, which is a small portion of the funding that comes to the city for transit services. But it looks at your fare box ratio, and it has a minimum target that you need to reach in order to continue to receive those state transit assistance funds. And that is a potential issue because of the ridership patterns have changed so much, and the call-a-ride trips specifically, and how the service is actually getting utilized that way, that we may or may not be able to meet that 10%. And usually what happens in a situation like that, it's not like, okay, next year you're not getting your funding. The state wants to work with the agency to try to see if there are changes that can be made to the service, whether you can look at cutting back on funding on your operations budget. Are there things you have non-productive or less productive hours during the day that you could cut back on that would help cut your operating expenditures that would then bring that ratio up? And so that's partly what the survey is trying to do, is to identify, are there barriers that are being created with the service the way that it is, so that there are riders who are out there who would like to use the service but who are not for whatever reason. Try to identify those, make any changes to the system that would then allow those individuals to start using the service, and that would also help more riders in the seat, more revenue in the fare box, and that helps bring the ratio up as well.
Okay. My last question has to do with the community bus conversations that we've had, and curious to know if you've had any further interaction with the seniors on that concept, and if you see any way forward from your perspective on that sort of a program.
Well, the staff has not. It's a concept that has to be generated and has to be initiated and has to be performed by the outside entity, the Senior Inc. group. And what we, based on the prior discussions during the last budget cycle, what staff was anticipating on doing was during this next coming budget cycle would be putting in a request like we had last year for a certain small portion of funding that could be the city's contribution towards their budget. But ultimately, it's a type of service that the city may love for the senior center to operate, but ultimately the senior center has to be the driving force behind it. Otherwise, it won't be successful. So we're more than happy. We have information in our brochures on the website that reference the Friendly Ride program that has the number and explains a brief statement of what the Friendly Ride does. When people call and ask questions at the transit office, that number is also given out. So we're very supportive in that capacity in providing information about the service. But people need, if people want to volunteer, they need to contact the senior center, get signed up, and they're really the ones that are the driving force to making that program come about.
Okay, thanks.
George?
Nancy? Cover it.
I think Noah pretty much covered all the questions I had. Thank you very much. There were some serious issues there.
Carla?
I get calls that people are missing Dial-A-Ride. I'm surprised that you're not not getting that feedback, but I had one today. So there is a segment of our citizenry out there who is missing it, and I'm hearing it. So I just add that in because that wasn't acknowledged. I think your update was great. Your questions were super, and I definitely think we should include everybody. For the call-a-ride eligibility. That makes perfect sense to me from the financial aspect, but plus from the aspect of it helps our fellow citizens. So that's a good thing. So I guess, are we anything else?
I have some comments.
Go ahead.
Okay, first comment is, as we talk about the transit efficiencies group, third pair, or the last, second to last paragraph there above the conclusion, you describe two scenarios, one where the deficiencies of the regional concept could be worked out and then they'd be brought forward to council for consideration. The second is the deficiencies would not be worked out and the city would end its participation. And I see that as a very explicit council decision, not staff decision, about whether or not those deficiencies are acceptable. And so I expect that these concepts would be brought forward to us either way, and we wouldn't be insulated from the choices there, and that we continue to work very closely with this transit efficiency group, because clearly we're seeing the direction that our funding is going from the state, that our ridership and percentages are going, and I'm very concerned that an essential service in our community is slowly but surely crashing, and we can't afford to let that happen, and we need to be very active in developing alternative options and supporting things such as this community bus concept and the friendly ride and so on. So I'm very concerned about this. I appreciate this update, and I want to make sure that we stay on top of this and not let this continue to go in the course that's going. And, of course, I support the expansion of the ridership, do anything we can to get more rides, and I hope we use this survey to its best ability.
Anything else from anybody? Then, Noah, why don't you, can I suggest that you move to revise call a ride eligibility policy to include all members of the general public effective February 23rd, 2011?
Sure, but I guess I'd like to hear the rest of the council as far as the transit efficiency discussion. I feel very strongly that this needs to come back to the council and for discussion, and I'd like to hear the rest of the council's feelings on that.
Well, I asked everybody if they'd had a comment, and they all said no, but we will start again. Carla.
I'll simplify it and just say, yes, I do agree with you.
So do I.
I especially agree that we have a system that's deficient, that's getting worse all the time, and we need to reverse that. We need to reverse it. We need to get Dial-A-Ride back. We need to work towards that goal, and I know it's a financial one, but this is a big missing thing from town right now.
This is a question I was going to ask. Is Dial-A-Ride dead?
It's been changed.
Just renamed.
The hours have been cut in half, basically, and there's certain places you've got to walk to catch it.
Yeah, I understand the problems they have there, the elderly people that can't walk to that area.
Have you heard from council now, Noah?
I think so. Do you think it's important to include that in the motion, that the transit efficiency group findings are brought to us when they've been developed?
Will that be brought to us automatically when they're developed?
Certainly, particularly in reference to the second part, where if the concept gets worked to where staff feels that the deficiencies can't be overcome or tweaks can be made to the concept that result in a budget that blows up the amount of funding that we have available, we'll certainly bring that back to the council, either as a staff report as here's what's happened and we can't move forward anymore, or here's a concept for your consideration.
So that's your call, whether you feel the need to include it in the motion. She stated that she would bring it back.
Okay.
That would be a standard operating procedure, I would think. She's nodding her head.
That's what I wanted to confirm.
Based on the staff report, that's not what that said, and so
exactly.
I would appreciate that. I again would reiterate, with all due respect, it's our decision to make whether or not we're going to proceed, and regardless of how the cost is or isn't. And so, yeah, I do want it to come back to us to make the decision, yes or no, not staff to.
That's repeating what's just been said.
Yes,
but
I know.
Do you want that as part
yes.
of the motion?
Yeah, I'll
okay.
include that.
Hang on a sec, George. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I move that we approve revising the call-a-ride eligibility policy and that we direct staff to bring back the final transit efficiency group results for council evaluation and action.
I'll second.
Discussion. Go ahead.
Along the same lines, will you bring back to us your results of the survey?
Yes.
Anything else? Anything else over here? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 5-0. We'll take a short break and we'll come back and we will deal with the Community Foundation.
A partnership with Morro Bay Community Foundation to sell trolley advertising for the 2011 season and amend the master fee schedule. And I will turn that over to Janine Burlingame for the report. Thank you.
Thank you and good evening again. In January, the city staff received a proposal from the Community Foundation and met with its members to discuss the proposal to basically form a partnership whereby the foundation would sell the advertising spaces on the trolley and split the revenues evenly with the city. And as you're aware, the foundation's mission, organization mission, is to assist children from financially challenged families to participate in recreation programs that are offered by the Recreation and Parks Department. And the foundation had realized that in the past, when city staff has been the one to have to take on the task of getting advertisers for the various spaces on all the trolleys, that there was really a limited effectiveness that was happening because there are competing tasks that are also being done at the same time. And so often what would happen is you would just get the phone call to the prior advertisers from last year and a letter that was sent out, and that was really the extent of what staff could do. And the foundation feels that with the proposal that they put forward, and because the profits or the revenue shared from the advertising sales would be split evenly, they're looking at this as a fundraiser event for them to generate money that would then go back into the community in the form of the scholarships and grants that they give out through the foundation. So as was mentioned earlier by one of the public comments, that it's really a win-win-win situation for the city, for the foundation, as well as the youth who would benefit from these scholarships. Attached to the staff report is the proposal from the foundation, and really it would be to form the partnership. The foundation would be the one that would manage selling the advertising spaces. They would coordinate with the city staff down at the yard in getting the signs made and getting the signs to city staff to put up in the spaces for the trolley. There's, as I mentioned, an opportunity to there's incentive for the foundation through the fact that the revenue that they would use from this would go back into their foundation and their program. And for the city, it would be a benefit because we would be able to see additional revenues for trolley advertising that have been lost in the past because of the competing duties and tasks and responsibilities of staff. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the council for discussion and questions, and the recommendation from staff is to enter into a trolley advertising program partnership with the Morro Bay Community Foundation as outlined in the attachment, their proposal in the staff report. And then the second part of the recommendation is to amend the master fee schedule as outlined in attachment 2, as their proposal includes streamlining the advertising rates and sizes for all the different vehicles so that you're not having a little bit sized differently here with a little bit different price from one vehicle to another. In addition, for the advertising rates, that are listed in the master fee schedule. The attachment includes on the first page what those new rates would be and the sign dimensions, and then the second page are the strikeouts from the current master fee schedule. With that, I'll turn it back over to the mayor and council.
Thanks. The only thing being changed are the advertising card rates. All the rest of this above there is the same.
Correct, right? Correct. That's what is currently in the master fee schedule for the other
items. Questions for Janine? Carla?
No questions.
Nancy? Questions? Or comments?
I just have one question. Yeah. This is a really elegant solution, and curious to know, the Community Foundation approached us with this idea, and was wondering if there's a way we could enlist them to actually help us increase ridership on the trolleys as well, if there's something that might work to use their energy and community connections.
I would submit that that's off subject.
And I think I'm tossing it out there to be on subject at a future point. I wouldn't expect you to commit to anything now, but
again, I would submit that it's off subject. I mean, you can go ahead if you want, but we're talking about the advertising, and you're talking about them doing something different than what's the agenda item.
It comes up because the Community Foundation.
You go ahead. I have twice stated my feelings on it.
Okay.
What you're talking about is really something that the staff would be willing to look into, but ultimately it would be the foundation who would need to be acceptable or amenable and interested in doing something further than what their current proposal is. This may be a springboard to future endeavors such as that. But for right now, their proposal and their desire was just to focus on the advertising program.
Mm-hmm. And they did approach us with this idea.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Do you have any comments?
None other than I think this is a good idea.
Great. I'm going to shoot back to Carla. If you have any questions or comments.
No questions. Just a comment just for follow-up. I did speak with Omar Alexander on this item, and I'm thrilled to see that there's an opportunity for the Community Foundation as well as the city. When I did talk to him, I did, just for the record, express a concern that we have yet this year to address the trolleys, whether there's an issue or a concern of how many trolleys will be running, 1, 2, 3, we don't know. And so what if you sell advertising and then council were to determine we weren't going to run three, just a for example type thing. And to that he expressed that they've considered all those things too. So I appreciate that they factored that in, and we'll do it on a first-come, first-served basis in regards to selling the advertising. So I'm really happy to see this happening and a good opportunity for the Community Foundation.
Great. Nancy?
I think it's a fantastic proposal. I agree. And I, too, talked to Homer Alexander, and he promised that with this minimum of $6,000, if they don't make it, he'll pay it. So I figure we're in good shape here.
It's on the record now. It's on the tape for all time. George?
Did they sell all the advertisement on these things? They don't.
No.
They haven't. But they're going to raise the rates.
Well, I mean, negligibly, as I see it.
Huh?
They are, yes.
Yes, I this looks like to me they are. So we got a kind of a supply and demand here, right?
Well, you've got the foundation now selling the advertising versus the city. So, I mean, I don't know who's a better wrist twister, the city or the foundation, but I would put money on the foundation.
Well then let's do it.
If I can kind of answer that, I think. No. Let's let George finish.
Yeah. I'm not finished. I just wondered, you know, usually when things don't sell out, sometimes you don't actually raise the price. But, you know, I guess this is going to work out fine for him. So let him go for it.
These rates were submitted by the foundation?
If I could make a comment on that, there were two different rate categories. One was if you had an existing sign, and that rate is pretty much the current rate structure that is set. The other rate is a little bit higher, and what it does is it's for those who don't have a sign yet made. And rather than having the individual cut a check to the foundation for the ad space, and then I got to turn around and I got to go find a sign maker and coordinate and do all of that, this is sort of the one-stop shop where they cut the one check, the foundation gets the sign made and gets the sign delivered to the city, and that higher price is for the sign cost.
Nancy.
I was just going to continue on George's comment that I think this is going to sound bad, Janine, but I don't mean it that way, that the Community Foundation is probably more highly motivated to sell these ads than the city. The city didn't have time to do the work that this committee's going to do and get the money for their projects. So I think they'll be able to sell them. I expect they will, even at a higher price.
It amounts to it's kind of a donation thing anyway, I think.
Anything else, Noah? Well, I'm also, everybody knows, I'm totally, totally behind this. And I'm totally behind the foundation. So I don't know that we need to grind on this anymore. I had something on my mind, but it's gone now. So let's just, yeah, it is good. So do you want me to make a motion? Somebody want to make a motion?
I will.
Okay.
And just for comment, one last thing is they really streamlined the price. They didn't raise it so much.
And I remember what I wanted to say, and that is I encourage the foundation to, when you're going to buy the signs, to try to do it locally. I say this because I get bashed on this every week by somebody, that if you go out and you have the signs made in Iowa, we're going to hear about it. So if you can keep it local, that's great. We do understand finances, and if it's going to be $100 local and $10 in Iowa, then you're going to go to Iowa, but be sure to give the local places a shot. Now, Carla, sorry.
Move approval of D1.
Second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you for doing this. Good luck. Hope you sell out. D2, I'll just take this myself. I answered this earlier. I think Mary Ann Reese is our best choice. Discussion.
I would thank you, and I appreciate it. And yes, I did ask you to bring this forward, and as all as I was asking was that we have already sent a letter once supporting her, and that we stay steadfast with that support and would reiterate a second letter to support.
And if this passes, the city selection meeting is tomorrow at 2, and I would take this letter with me. It's going to be an interesting meeting, I'm sure. Nancy?
I agree.
George? Noah?
My comment would be that I think the primary importance for us is that we have local representation on the Coastal Commission, and so I would actually prefer that we, if the rest of the council sees Mary Ann Reese as the lead preference, that we back that up with a secondary statement that says, or another San Luis County representative. So it's clear that we see that we need a local representative on that board, because that's going to help us with other projects because of their accessibility for being in the county. So that would be my only request.
That would water it down. The city selection committee is only considering county residents. The Ventura County City Selection Committee, they'll be recommending Ventura County residents. So it's not even in the realm of possibility that the city selection committee will be choosing anybody from out of the county.
Okay, I guess I just read this as Mary Ann Reese or no one. And if this letter were to go beyond the city selection committee or just at the city selection committee, I don't want it to be misunderstood that we don't have it as a priority to have local representation as the premier need for us.
Well, I could state that at the meeting tomorrow. I don't, you know, I think if we add what you want to add in the in this, then we're basically doing what the Supes have done, and they've just kind of endorsed all four, which isn't saying anything. If you say Marianne Reese or any of the other people, because that's what we'd be saying, it just it totally waters this down.
Well, I guess so. I see this going to the governor regardless, and what I don't
it's
want.
It's not.
That's.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry.
That's essentially what this process is going to be, the governor's selection.
The governor will be getting the recommendations from the three counties, us, Santa Barbara, and Ventura. And there's one representative, am I getting this right? There's one representative, Coastal Commissioner representative from those three counties. He can pick from any one of them. He's not going to see this letter. He's going to get the recommendation from our county. He'll get the recommendation from the other two counties, and he's going to pick somebody. And in a perfect world, he would pick Marianne because she's already on there. But the reality is the realities are the realities. And we probably know where it's going. But
and what I don't want to see is that it goes somewhere where one of the other counties is picked as and the representative becomes outside of our county. It's that much harder for us to get in touch with them and so on. So if you're not willing to change that, I respect that you would bring this up as a concern from us or me, but I would have to vote against this.
Okay. So anybody want to say anything to that?
I do.
Go ahead.
I have some concerns with Noah's concern and that there are some people whose names have been mentioned that I personally would not care to support as a council person. So I'm very comfortable with supporting Marianne. I met her in Sacramento, and I really think she's our best choice. And there are other people. I mean, I don't want to water it down, and I don't want to say we're supporting somebody whom I don't feel comfortable supporting.
When it comes down to it, though, Noah, I'm going to support all the way through this process. I'm going to support the county person. Whether it's Marianne or Bruce or Janmar, whoever it is, I would support that over another county person.
Well, and I agree. If it comes down to that, yeah, I would support too, but I don't want to water down this letter.
Then can I have a motion approving this letter?
Move approval of D2.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-1. Council declaration of future agenda items. Start with Carla.
I have nothing.
Nancy?
I have one. While I realize it's still a recession, I think this is a good time to begin a discussion on an aggressive economic incentives program to revitalize our old town and North Morro Bay. As an example, reducing fees for commercial property owners, who are willing to do serious construction or reconstruction of their properties. Anybody
I would
else?
That.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Done.
Thanks.
George?
Well, I got kind of a biggie. Morro Rock is not only our town is named after it, but it's also our identity. The area around the rock is just a total disaster. I think for years now, I have had more complaints come to me. I don't know why they have stopped at the harbor hut and give the complaint, but I guess it was the first hit after they'd been out there. But it was a constant deal. Why aren't you people doing something with that area out there? How come it looks like a, well, it does. It looks like a battle zone. It looks like, you know, there's potholes around there. And I know sometimes they go out and scrape it off. When they go scrape it off, it just becomes a flat area. And when the rains come down, there's nowhere for the water to go. So then we end up with the same situation. And all we got is just a mud hole. This should be the site where we would really enjoy having to be at its perfection. There's something should be done out there. I don't know exactly how we can do it, but this area should be beautified. I go as far to say it should be paved, whatever is to be done out there. And I believe this will, in our economic downturn that we are having here in Morro Bay, people will come, if we put an area out there that's beautified, they're going to come and look at this. They're going to bring families, enjoy the area more. Right now it's just, you got to have a four-wheel drive to go out there. We want to get it fixed up so the guys with the Cadillacs will come. You know, this has been neglected for a long time. And I really believe that somehow we could bring this, get this council to get me behind me here and bring this to the city staff where they can get into discussion to see what we can do about this. This is long overdue. And if we could fix this area up, it would be a tremendous, tremendous attraction for Morro Bay. So anyway, that's what I would like to see done.
I would support that wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
The agenda item would be discussion of possible improvements to the rock parking area. Would that be something, Rob, you could work on?
Possible improvements. I think you should call it paving and landscaping.
Okay.
Not possible improvement.
And as part of that, could they look at including it in the Coleman Park project out there?
Well, I think the same thing. The whole thing should be continued on with the. There's been talk about the bridge over the creek and the whole, the whole ball of wax here.
Let's not get too complicated.
No, I'm just taking one. Just try to take one thing at a time. But there's just we got the beauty site. Thank you, Bill.
Mary Yates, may I ask for some clarification?
You may.
Would the council be interested in that starting at the advisory board level, or are they more interested in that coming straight to council?
I think we have to have the discussion here before we can even answer that question.
Gotcha.
I don't think it can go there first based on this.
All right.
Noah.
Okay. Mine's equally as big. It's a plaques for bike racks program.
Oh, forget it. No, go ahead.
I'm just kidding. But I would like to have that brought back at staff's convenience. It's a plaques for bike racks program concept that's been discussed before. Yeah, sponsoring bike racks.
I'd support that.
Oh, thanks.
Doesn't SloCog have some bike racks stashed?
I think there's a lot of options there, and I'm confident staff would be able to bring back
that and good bus benches I think they've got. But anyway, I can find that out tomorrow because I'll be in there.
Okay.
Okay.
The other question is, with our JPA meeting, there were some questions from the public about how we're going to approach this next phase. Now there's been a report and a date set, so I'm assuming we'll have a discussion item on the next JPA agenda about the latest developments.
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay, that'll make a lot of people sleep better, I'm sure.
You know, we want everything out in the open and everything, you know, no secrets so, I mean, I'm a proponent of that there's everything is out, so.
I will mention, though, that our next JPA meeting is the exact same time as the Coastal Commission meeting is going on. Our JPA meeting is on the 10th, and the substantial hearing is on the 11th. The consultant, Susan McCabe, would not be able to make your JPA meeting to make a presentation because she'll be at Coastal Commission meetings. So we're trying to coordinate that whole scenario and find out more on her availability. But at least for the 10th, you wouldn't be able to have a presentation by the consultant.
Should we talk about either postponing the meeting till after the Coastal Commission hearing or bring it forward a week?
Or could we just hold our meeting at the Coastal Commission?
or I don't think this is a future agenda item. I know staff is having this conversation about trying to move the meeting to accommodate that. I know it's a concern of mine. Any news on that?
No, we'll work on it, and if we need to move it forward or move it back, we'll poll the council members, and we got to poll. So, I mean, even if you come with a date, you know, you've got the problem with Cayucas. But we're aware of the issues and trying to figure it all out as we speak.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else? Anybody? Anything from staff? Thank you very much. Thank you guys for staying till the very end. We are adjourned.